Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JB Finley, Redskins Talk. Day 2 of training camp in the books. Time to talk about it. Pete is here. Tandler's here. Mitch is here. And you know what? Credit where it's due. We have solved the microphone issue. Everybody say hello.
1, 2, 3.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
I feel so powerful with my
you
own mic.
Really just do that? That was the lamest thing ever. That was wildly lame.
The best part about this is I cannot be muted unless the mic is ripped from my hands.
That's a pretty high bar or low bar for this podcast, being lamest thing ever.
That was lame, dude. And Mitch almost fell out of his chair. That was not lame.
That would have been funny.
For the guy that hates when I talk about chairs, this chair is not comfortable.
These chairs are not comfortable.
Okay. But, so Pete, Greg, and Mitch put their heads together and came up with a microphone solution. I'm impressed, gentlemen.
We think.
I'm impressed. All right, let's do news off the top. I talked to Zach Brown. He said he's fine. He said, if I'm walking around, they'd have to drag me off a football field. I said, if this was a game, he's like, not even a question. Zach Brown's fine. He got a little grumpy, though. He got held during 11. He actually practiced today. Not everybody noticed that. But he went out there and got held during 11-on-11 drills and got kind of kicked. And he was pretty pissed off. He was heated on the sideline. He was yelling at the offensive line. So Zach Brown's fine, everybody.
Well, Zach was a little late coming out to practice, probably getting a little extra treatment. And as he came running on the field, he was already fired up. He was, let me go, man. Come on.
Right.
He's a guy that wants to be out there practicing.
And Deron Payne, however, is fine. Talked to him afterwards, but he left practice and was limping there pretty good for a second. You could tell the big man was not feeling great. I'm sure that upset you, Mitch. And
I feel their pain.
It was interesting. While he was on the side, he was on the sideline for a while, and Bruce Allen, so the trainer's tending to him. It looked like a left ankle. Trainer's tending to him, is it kneeled or knelt?
Knelt.
You sure?
Yeah, definitely knelt.
It's definitely not knelt.
K-N-E-L-T, knelt.
All right, whatever. A trainer's down on the ground next to him working on his leg, and Bruce Allen is like a foot away. Bruce Allen is just standing there staring at what's happening. They are very much wanted to make sure their first-round pick was okay. Talked to Deron Payne leaving the field. He said he's good. He said, I'm fine. I kind of think he got kicked in as players were kind of falling all over the place. I think there was a flying leg that kicked him, on the ankle bone.
So I was going to say,
pretty painful.
It was pretty interesting watching the trainers as they were working on him because it wasn't as much, you see, stretching or tweaking to try and
flexing.
they were pulling his foot and shaking it around. It looked like trying to get blood movement going back to that area or something like that.
I tell you what, these practices last couple, they're no pads, they're not no contact.
Right, I agree.
He's got nobody's getting tackled or anything, but man, in those lines they are going
especially with the second and third stringers, the guys who are desperate to make an impression. That's where it gets kind of wild and things. The rules kind of go out the window when it comes to no contact.
Well, you see you always hear coaches yelling, "Stay up, stay up, stay up!" It's every play.
Yeah,
they're yelling, "Stay up."
Well, yeah. And tomorrow the pads come on, so
pretty pumped.
Yeah, you can. So the defense clearly won the day today.
You should mention Ryan Anderson. One more injury news.
Oh, well, we saw Anderson go into the trainer's tent.
He came out. I was right when he came out.
They were working on his lower back.
It was two trainers, and it's the thing where they had a trainer on each side and hoisting him out, and it was really slow. AJ was on the field, said it. By the time he got kind of halfway to the facility, he was barely able to carry himself off. It was all the trainers who were lifting him. Anderson not doing a whole lot.
Did they give any update on any of these guys?
No.
Because Norman spoke after, not Jay. And Tony, I don't know
if
he said anything.
Right, usually they come in and give an injury update.
Yeah, so Anderson, I think, is right now the one that looks the worst. It could
and
be
never
nothing.
Came back on the field.
No. The way they helped him out, it took a long time just to get him off the table and start moving.
It looked pretty tender when I was watching the trainers working on
it. So it was back, because some people are saying back somewhere knee. You think it back?
I saw trainers working on his lower back. Now, I don't know what the injury – that's what I saw. I don't know.
Guy with some stinger history.
Yeah, stinger last year. As someone who has lower back pain, it's the worst.
Yeah, and you don't have to play football.
Right, I don't.
So, Junior
really
Gillette.
Anything athletic.
Junior Gillette, maybe stand by your phone.
You think they'd sign Junior if Ryan's hurt, Taylor?
No, although I would recommend that they do.
Do you think they would stand pat with the guys they have or sign somebody else?
Pete Robertson, baby.
God.
Depends whether they keep 9 or 10 linebackers, I guess.
Depends on if it's a 53 or 54 man roster.
I was right. They kept 10 linebackers. F you guys.
And you've been so proud about it. You're like, I know math.
I know. This is like three podcasts in a row.
Mitch keeps bringing it up.
I don't think I brought it up yesterday.
Whatever. I don't think. Let's not exaggerate. We don't know what's
going
on.
Yeah.
I know. So far, we freaked out about Doxson. He looks great. Brown, we didn't really freak out about, but he's okay. So with these day-to-day things, we'll check back tomorrow.
Doxson, again, did not talk to the media.
Part of the Daily Pod.
Tomorrow.
He said.
Which he also said yesterday,
yes.
I believe.
Yeah.
He did speak to Larry Michael in Redskins Nation. So he got back on for him.
So I tell you what, folks, look for that on our air.
Exactly.
5:30, NBC Sports Washington.
Yeah.
I might actually watch that because that might be the only way we get to hear from him.
And we'll also be posting it.
We don't get that. We don't get our channel at the hotel, which is so annoying.
We will also be posting it on our interwebs. So it'll be good.
Okay, cool. All right, I got some items here. We had our first podcast signed.
Yes.
Dang.
What's my guy's name?
So his name was Nick. I think Mitch spotted him first.
Nick J. Merrill. He actually called me out, and it was folded up. It wasn't out.
Oh, so he unveiled it in front of you.
He called me out and said, look at my sign.
Yeah.
And
Taylor, have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I saw the picture.
I took the picture. I tweeted it.
So should we describe it for the listeners who haven't seen
perfect
it? It was a perfect
like
podcast sign. Yeah.
Beat up and funny.
The handwriting was kind of bad. It wasn't planned out well, so at the end he had to come to jumble words. The sign said...
Tandler's got jokes, right?
Like, said, we want Tandler. We want more of Tandler's got jokes.
The people want Tandler's got jokes.
And because we are men of our word, we interviewed Nick. He got his 90 seconds on the
right
pod,
here.
So I'll drop the interview here.
I'm here with Nick Merrill. Redskins talk history maker. He brought the first sign to 2018 Richmond training camp. It is a neon green sign. It says the people want Tandler's got jokes. Mitch and I are here on the scene. We both approve, so we don't need JP or Rich's votes. Nick, your 90 seconds on Redskins talk podcast is now. Say whatever the hell you want. You earned it, buddy.
You know, I think I speak for the people here when I say we need more Tandler jokes. You know, the world needs more of Tandler's jokes.
Do you have a particular favorite Tandler Scott jokes, or you just like them all?
It was the one with the duck. I'm not sure what it was.
I remember Mitch getting a large laugh out of that one as well.
That's the one that comes to mind. Yeah. Training camp's fun. It's hot out here. Yeah. Hopefully more signs come out. I've got some more in the works. Don't worry. I'll be back.
And in a perfectly Tandler-esque way, he loves the sign, but he says not necessarily funny. So he's not even giving you an upvote.
Man.
But you know
classic.
What? Pete and I both gave you an upvote, so you're good.
He just doesn't want to come up with more jokes, is all.
There's one thing about Tandler, it's that he's lazy. Nick, thank you very much, and you're a legend, man. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
You're the man.
All right, just for Nick, Tandler, will you tell the duck joke again?
A duck walks into Nordstrom. She gets some lipstick. She says, oh, just put it on my bill.
It's as good
that
the
one's for you,
time
Nick.
As it was the first.
Oh, my God. The shtick meter's off the charts.
Yep.
So we also have an interview with Paul. Not just Nick on the podcast today. We also have an interview with Paul Richardson. I asked him, Alex Smith made very clear yesterday he hasn't peaked as a player. I asked Paul Richardson if he's peaked as a player and where his career will go. So you guys are going to enjoy that.
I can guess what his answer is. Even
Paul's cool, man. Can we make, he's a Cali
Paul's
bro.
Paul's
he's
a good guy.
He also I talked about the tacos. Too.
Let's go.
He also lays out for balls in practice more
he
than
had
any
two
other
today.
Receiver.
Like, he had two today where it looked like he could have rolled on his shoulder.
He
like he's going for
a
it.
Helmet catch.
Did you hear what Preston said
the one
to
right,
him
the one's coming right at us, right?
Yep.
After he dropped that. So it's tough because calling that the drop is kind of
it's like calling the Dachshund catch in Kansas City a drop.
Right. It's a diving catch.
Yeah.
It would have been an incredible catch.
It would have been an incredible catch. But Preston Smith's yelling at him as he ran back over to the field. You leave your hands in the room. You
nice.
Leave your hands in the hotel. It was
that's
funny,
coming
man.
From Preston, who makes tough interceptions at least
Preston's
once or twice a year.
Hands.
So,
yeah.
That's fine.
Careful. You can't take a shot at Preston with,
I know.
With Rich here.
I complimented him,
so,
Taylor. Don't hurt me.
Mount Rushmore listener Charles Honey was my guest at practice today. And when we saw Preston – Honey had a great line. He goes, is Taylor staying in his room? Or is Preston staying with Taylor?
Oh, yeah.
Zing. I want to talk about Phil Taylor.
Okay.
Love it.
When is a fair time to start talking about Phil Taylor as a guy that it's not even a huge if. It's a gigantic if. It's a Washington Monument size if, right? If he can stay healthy. But okay. – If he can stay healthy, he makes the roster.
Count him off. Is he going to stay as a seventh defense? You're going to have a third nose tackle?
I'm telling
as your
you.
Seventh defensive
you
lineman?
Love Ziggy. Taylor's better than Ziggy.
Yeah.
At nose tackle? Yes. But you have
to. You got
settle.
A mic and you're not holding it next to your mouth.
You have settle, you have pain. Why
I'll
do you
count him
why
up.
Do you need a third nose tackle?
Because Payne's not a pure nose. He's strong enough to do it, but I think you're happy in the 3-4 to play him at end.
This team has had zero noses for years.
Then leave Ioannidis on the bench, leave Allen on the bench.
They want to rotate
leave,
those guys
I know,
and keep
I know
them fresh.
They want to rotate.
Just riddle me this, Batman.
Okay.
Is Phil Taylor better than Ziggy Hood?
At nose tackle, yes. But that's not always the question.
It's also hard to say that because Taylor hasn't played in 5 years. So
it's
the idea of him is better.
Right.
His ceiling is higher, but Hood
you
is
need?
A safer
you need
choice.
A third nose tackle.
Mitch is oddly quiet.
I'm enjoying this conversation.
Or
you guys are making
do you
salient
even
points.
Want to keep seven? You know, now, this is a presumption. Are we presuming Stason McGee on PUP?
It's a couple
know,
conversations I've had. I'd say it's trending
up.
That
and
way.
And Gruden admitted as much in the presser
this morning.
Good chance.
Here's
so,
my question.
But even if that happens.
Wait. He's already on the PUP. What are we talking about?
No, starting the year
starting
on the PUP.
Start the year.
Right,
we're
okay.
talking about the 53-man roster,
right?
We're not talking about making it.
54.
Does Ziggy automatically get signed if the Redskins cut him? Elsewhere.
That's a good question.
Phil Taylor
I don't know.
Automatically gets signed elsewhere if the Redskins cut him.
No, because Phil Taylor makes the team
that's
if he's healthy.
So this is my point. If Phil Taylor is better as a nose tackle.
Ziggy is 31.
You keep Phil, and Who's then
Phil?
if the injuries pop up, probably same age. If the injuries pop up, then you always have Ziggy sitting in your back
Taylor
pocket.
Is 30.
What, and Taylor's going to be a hot commodity? I don't get this.
No, but we're saying Phil Taylor's the better of the two.
Okay. All right, count them.
Payne, Settle, Ioannidis, Allen. Those are
Lanier.
Lanier
is in.
Those five are making the roster. Period.
So you got six is.
But you've had seven all offseason.
Right, because you had McGee, and Ziggy. Okay, you really think they're going to cut Ziggy Hood? To keep Phil Taylor.
We keep saying Taylor's better, which I maybe is, but how the hell can we say that? He's played like a couple preseason
it's
games.
Too big of an if.
It's too early to be having this
I'm
conversation.
I'm just saying that it's interesting. Phil Taylor's looking pretty good.
Phil Taylor does look pretty good.
It's way too early
for this.
It's day two of training camp.
Some would argue, just like we talked about Kenny Ladler yesterday, this is...
Jay mentioned Kenny Ladler in his presser this morning, though.
Yo, Pete Robertson's running with the ones,
and
boy.
Pete Robertson, I mean... We're diving deep early.
All right. Josh Harvey Clemens.
I mean, I like Phil. I wish Phil – I'm not a Phil Taylor hater.
Hater.
Or anything.
What a hater.
I just don't see it. I do not see
– Josh Harvey Clemens is skinny, man.
He is.
But he's
He also shows up a lot.
Leverage.
You talked to Spade about what they're going to – how they're going to use Clemens. Didn't he say – like
he
you're like
he's a
straight
linebacker.
Up linebacker.
I mean, it would be mostly in you know, in nickel type situations.
Yeah. Let's count them off.
But hold on,
ZB
hold on.
Mace.
As you watch practice, he's lanky. but he's always around the ball. Like, he's one of those guys that seemingly is always around the ball.
He's around the ball, and he gets a lot of reps.
It seems like, well, especially with Zach not practice, not Zach hardly had a full day of practice today.
Right.
With JHC, though, it seems like he's relying on the speed and not necessarily always in position.
Isn't that kind of the knock on Zach, too? I guess it's kind of a non-sequitur, non-related, but isn't that kind of what they say about Zach as well?
I think that's more of a coverage issue.
What difference does it make if you get there and make the tackle?
Mace, ZB, Harvey Clemens.
You hang your teammates out to dry.
Sean Dion, who you have confirmed that he likes Sean Dion.
Okay.
He kind of said Sean, and then he's like, Sean Dion. I was like,
no, it was actually real funny because I was like, I was kind of standing out to the side, and you said, hey, man, and you were like, is it Sean or Sean Dion? Whatever, I couldn't really, but it was he was very like zoned in on it as he was like discussing.
He didn't really answer though. He was like, "It's Sean Dion." Remember when they drafted Brandon Scherff?
Yeah.
And nobody Scherff knew how to say his name.
And then you asked him,
and he's like, "I don't care.
It's Scherff. Scherff doesn't matter either way."
Yeah.
He doesn't care about anything except running people over.
And then the fifth inside linebacker spot to circle it back to what we were talking about between Spate
Vigil
and Zach Vigil. Now, I look at
That's assuming they keep five.
Right. I look at it as last year, when they cut to 53, they kept Spate, cut Vigil. But then injuries started to happen. Later in the year, they bought Vigil back. Then when they needed a starter, when Zach Brown finally shut it down,
right,
they started Vigil.
Here's what I think.
I like Vigil.
Between Spate and Vigil. I think Vigil is the better linebacker. But I think Spate can do a lot on specials. And when you're keeping five, you assume you don't need the fifth guy to be a linebacker for you. You know what I mean?
And right.
And that might have been some of the process last year in making that decision.
And you're saying, is Taylor or Hood going to be a high demand? If Vigil, you cut him. Who knows? He might be around if you need him.
Last year and brought him back.
Yeah.
Does Vigil not?
I think he was on a practice squad.
Does he not play? Specials?
I'm sure he does, but he doesn't have. Spate has speed in the open field. Spate is not as good of a tackler as Zach Vigil as a linebacker. Vigil is a sure tackler.
Speaking of specials, you know what was interesting to me?
That's the first time we saw a hop kick today, right?
No, he did. Actually, yeah, you're right. I don't think he did much of anything yesterday.
Did he make them all? I think he did.
I was at a weird angle.
He definitely pulled one wide right. But
scale of 1 to 10, what is Jay Gruden's confidence in Dustin Hopkins? It's got to be pretty damn high. They gave him an extension, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a...
I'd say, yeah.
I'm not suggesting that there's competition or anything like that, but, like, I think the London kick stuck with Jay. They make the playoffs tied in London, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
Didn't Hop have some extra point issues a little bit last year?
Yeah, it's...
The whole league kind of did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny how you move that thing back.
What is it? It's like a 40-yarder.
32-yarder.
I was going to say, Rob Kelly was running a lot of special team stuff today.
Yeah, the tackling drills and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, obviously, Geis wasn't out there for that.
He's been watching. He knows what happened to,
Matt Jones.
He knows how he got his job.
You think he's volunteering for that? Or you think he's being told to do that?
I think he knows he has to. I don't think it makes that much difference.
Yeah, but Rob's the kind of guy that's going to do whatever.
Right, he's going to do whatever it takes. And I kind of love it about him.
All
right.
Yeah.
Like I said, not all those guys get that message.
Dunbar was out there too, and he might be the number two corner. So
yeah, but I think Dunbar's going to play specials. He's good, and they're going to have him out there. He's good at specials.
It's a lot of snaps for a guy who you're relying a lot on that for that defense.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't play specials. Well, some of it will depend on what happens with Moreau if Moreau emerges as a specials guy. I have an update on the breakfast situation. I am a victim.
Oh, God.
You what?
I am a victim.
Let's hear this one.
Jerry Brown, our photographer, told me that he went to breakfast yesterday with no shoes on, they didn't care. Nobody threw him out.
What is the matter with you people?
What are you doing that? You're putting our whole company in a terrible light. Walking
around
barefooted. Jerry just
wore socks.
Okay, his feet were covered.
No, I think that's just as bad.
Socks. All I'm saying is I'm the victim.
No,
why was I singled out?
Was he barefoot?
He wasn't wearing shoes.
Was he barefoot?
He wasn't. This is not an up or down vote. He was not wearing shoes.
Up or down vote. Was JP discriminated against?
I was singled out.
No.
No.
You probably looked disheveled. You probably looked like someone who had come off the streets. Like, this guy's here to eat our bacon in the seventh room, seventh floor.
Anyway.
Just rode the one elevator that's working right. up and down.
The elevator situation in that hotel is so awful.
It's what's worse, the elevator situation or the bus situation in Richmond? They're both pretty bad.
I think the
bus
is better. I think I haven't ridden the bus yet. But
oh, I got stuck trying to make a left-hand turn and couldn't because of the damn bus.
Yeah.
That damn bus. We were talking to a couple fine Richmond police officers, and they are not fans of the new high-speed bus. They're very concerned that pedestrians are going to get rocked. Because I didn't think about this. They put the stops for the bus in the middle of the street. So to get on the bus, you have to walk through the middle of the street. It's funny. All right. One thing you noticed today, and then we go to Paul Richardson. Pete, start.
Brian Quick seems to be popping up.
That was mine.
Pretty often. And I've kind of been on the anti-Brian Quick making the roster. And I'm not going to totally flip-flop after a couple days of camp, but he's not only making catches, he's making kind of Dachshund-like difficult catches at times. So I didn't think Brian Quick was a roster maker.
And now you're...
I'm not...
Because you're all in on Trey Quinn.
Because I'm also all...
Here's what I can tell you. Trey Quinn ran a go route today. That's not his game.
Yeah.
Trey Quinn adjusts to the ball in the air quite well, though.
The speed's not there for him to go vertical.
Not. Certainly not.
Right. Nor is the size. But yeah, Brian Quick, maybe I shouldn't have wrote him off so early.
Taylor, you're up.
Jerron Christian has some work to do. They were doing the.
I don't know that you moved Ty Nseki to guard quite yet.
The one-on-one. Yeah, exactly. That's the ripple effect there. The one-on-one blocking one particular play. Preston Smith, who is a great player.
Oh, borderline Hall of Fame.
Hall of Famer.
Well, Jay also said today he needs to be dominant, so it's time. Like Jay sees the talent,
it is time. Okay, for him to be consistently dominant.
Right,
but I mean. If he plays against
Jerron
Christian every week, he'd be defensive player of the decade.
But in the individual drills, they have Jerron working across from Trent the entire time. Anytime that Trent's up to do a rep, Jerron has the blocking bag right in front of Trent, so he gets to see it up front what's happening.
Some osmosis will hopefully happen.
I mean, he's expected to be a project. That really wasn't, people say he needs to add strength. This really wasn't strength. It was just technique. It was awareness. It was, not getting turned around. Yeah, it was the whole thing.
Luckily, he's with Bill Callahan, and also Morgan Moses was a rough project to start, and he's turned out well. So this is what camp's for.
They were an 11-on-11, and Alex Smith dropped back for a screen pass. And the D-line broke through, and obviously no hitting of the quarterbacks. But normally they kind of run by, tap the quarterback, and we'll keep going. But it was John Allen, and I believe it was Deron Payne. And the two of them were shadow moving with Alex Smith as he was moving back and forth, trying to throw that little screen pass, and didn't let him throw it. And I just kind of loved that.
He just threw it into the ground.
He just threw it straight into the ground. I just love that competition. I love the fire that they don't even want that guy to
throw. Those two are pushing the hell out of one another.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh yeah.
You can't be a badass if you're just going to tap the quarterback.
Yeah.
There you go.
Speaking
and also the quick feet. Alex Smith is not a slow guy.
No.
And having the two of those guys shuffling back and forth like in the old basketball drills in front of him was pretty impressive.
Speaking of fire, DJ Swearinger was on one today.
Pete's just stealing everything I'm going to say. It was my turn.
Sorry.
And B,
number two,
DJ he played great, and like the best, he got that interception. So he makes a nice play, gets a good interception. And then, I'm trying to describe it so people can picture this. So it's 11-on-11 drills on the field. The defense is on the sideline. The offense is kind of standing behind where the huddle would be. So the two sides of the team are quite divided, right? Swearinger gets the pick, runs up, and then just runs through the whole offense and just shows off the ball and is just barking the whole time.
Yeah.
It was fantastic, and I enjoyed that. I got a bunch of one things. My second one thing, the fans were funny today. Like
I was doing a lot of shtick with the fans.
Fans are into it, and one thing fans got to realize, like, there are people asking for autographs during practice.
Yeah.
Like they can't come sign your autograph during practice, dude. You don't like it's I love when a fan yells something funny, or you get a lot of like go Hokies to Tim Settle, yeah. or, you know what I mean, there's stuff like
Roll
that.
Tide.
Rich, I shouldn't be yelling that from the sideline.
But don't ask for autographs while they're
yeah,
playing.
I remember Breland last year was like, we don't come to your job and ask you to, like, do stuff. Let us work, and then after we'll come say hi.
Right.
So that gets under the skin of players.
Ask
Rich for his autograph. He'll sign.
Here's the last one, and we kind of dropped the ball not talking about this earlier. Colt McCoy extension. I think it makes sense for all parties. Gruden was asked about it, and he said, Colt's a good player. We hope we never have an injury, but we know we'd be very comfortable with Colt in there. Is it a lot of money for a backup, Taylor?
No, it's up to $7 million.
Right.
You got to see the details.
So
I think what
– I'm sorry. I'm getting – having a mic is so fun. Sorry. Go ahead, Taylor.
We're going to have to go – we'll go to a three mic.
Yeah, though. Dude.
Hand over to him. But
I just muted
there's
Pete.
Like
Mitch literally just unplugged his microphone.
Pete, no one can hear you. I mean,
Rappaport
going,
said there were like six levels of buyouts. Basically, he wants to be – Colt wants to be protected if –
And he plays,
if Alex
plays
gets
well.
Hurt, gets hurt, he plays, lights it up. He doesn't want to be stuck for three.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably going to make $4 million if he just goes through this year.
Well,
and
one of the biggest things
and doesn't
with
play.
The two-year he signed prior to last night's extension is that he also has outs if he starts playing. Then he becomes a free agent. And I think that has tremendous value for him, too.
Well, that's the main thing. But
right.
Yeah, you get the escalator. It's
right.
good, but – Yeah, if he
that's
can get
important.
Into, if you know, if you play 75% of the snaps,
right.
say, and that voids the last year of the contract, right? But I'm just throwing a number out there.
Well, what I'm wondering is if does this
will you shut up and let Taylor speak?
Does this mean that Kevin Hogan? I mean, as soon as he arrived, everybody said Colt McCoy's job is in trouble. We knew that wasn't
true.
You
know who didn't say that? Me.
I know.
I said that's stupid.
No,
Colt
I know.
McCoy is
everybody
very much
was,
safe.
But does this reflect now? Is this could be there's just two quarterbacks and they're. Does this have any impact on Kevin Hogan's future, do you think?
I think Kevin Hogan throwing ducks has more impact on
his future.
I was
about to say, Kevin Hogan has more influence on Kevin Hogan's future. But yeah, I mean, there was a thought, okay, we can get Hogan if he can play. Maybe we can move on and save $4 million, $3 million of cap space at backup quarterback next year. But
incorrect.
That's what the thinking could have been if he had played well
enough. Nobody in the organization thought that.
Okay. What, of moving on from Colt?
Because Colt was only under contract for this year.
I know, but he could have decided to move on his own.
Okay.
They thought Hogan could be insurance against McCoy moving on.
Fine, but they were never cutting Colt for Kevin Hogan, ever.
No, yeah. No, not this year.
But that's what Pete's
no.
talking about.
A lot of our listeners and a lot of readers and a lot of people okay. thought that, so I just want to clear
the
that up for them.
Deep State Redskins, where AJ lives.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of deep staters that listen to our podcast. We need to cater to them sometimes.
I'm pro deep state. Don't get me wrong. But that was never going
to
happen.
Okay. And wanted to bring that up and clear it up.
The
for
extension
everybody.
Proves it. All right. Say hi to our boy Dan.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, our guy who lives on the Chesapeake.
He's going to bring us crabs to a tailgate. What the hell? Can we announce the tailgate? Should we keep that
Should we
secret?
Ah.
How about this? I don't know if we're allowed to yet. So we're definitely working towards a tailgate. We did one last year. We're definitely doing one. I'm pretty sure we have a date. I'm pretty sure we have a sponsor.
Yeah.
We can save that for a non-daily camp pod.
I just don't want to jump the gun on it.
Yeah, I don't either. But Dan needs to bring crabs to that tailgate.
We met our guy, Dan Wood, last night at
really nice dude, nice
great
family.
Great dude at the Vail Brewery. Which
nice wife.
It was awesome meeting all you guys. He and his wife were there.
Last night was fun. Everybody we met at the Vail, it was awesome. It's got me that much more excited for the podcast party,
too. It was awesome.
Yeah. Matchbox is going to be wild. I talked to some people that live down here that said that Matchbox is really cool. I haven't been out there yet. I need to. My guy, Dean.
Yep.
Put on TV.
Yep, he was nice.
And
we saw him 3 hours after we posted the podcast yesterday. He's like, yeah, I already listened. It's like, how did you even do that?
My guy.
No, Dan and his wife listened to the podcast on the hour-long drive from their home to Vail.
Yeah. I met a guy, and I don't want to say because it was a young – he had his son with him, and his son was like 7 or 8. And he's like, what did I tell you to say to him? And the little boy goes – you owe me a beer.
That's great.
That hell awesome. Yeah.
Maybe he said you owe my dad
a beer.
Wait.
But lawyers, that didn't happen.
Yeah, that never happened.
Let me go back to Dan Wood real quick. Because he invited us out to his place on the Chesapeake. He told us he would give us some real deal crabs. I was talking to him about B. Mitch's, our trip to
Louisiana
last year, and B. Mitch took us
New
for
Sarpe.
some new Sarpay.
He said he'd let us sleep in his backyard.
He said we could sleep in his
backyard. A lot of people said we could camp out in their yard.
People are into
Taylor, has your stance softened?
Not in the least.
No, he said he had a fire pit. We could roast marshmallows.
What do you not understand about a hard no?
Binary.
Not how I operate.
We're going to soften that no before you know it.
We're working on it.
There's not a chance.
All right.
Awesome meeting you guys out yesterday, though.
We had a blast.
It was so much fun.
Had a blast. Thank you to the guys at the Vale. Isaac and Dave are the best. It was a lot of fun.
Real quick, favorite Vale beer?
Master Shredder, but they don't. My favorite is Child Support, which they don't have. They're like letting it age or whatever they do.
Pete?
The one that is red and is called the Double Raspberry something.
Pete is such a nerd, dude.
Oh, it was so funny watching him drink red beer last night.
On TV, it was fun.
RT didn't come.
People were asking me, where's Tandler? Where's Binary Tandler?
No, your insurance agent was there. Your former
Kevin.
Insurance
Kevin was there. Kevin,
he was very excited
Kevin Morris,
to see
if you're
you.
Listening, I do apologize for not making it.
You were worn out from the night before?
Yes.
Oh, RT. A couple IPAs in him. A couple IPAs in him.
It was two long nights.
What was your favorite beer, Mitchell?
I think the Yellow Lamb. Yellow Lamb?
All right. Is that the lemonade one?
Not the lemonade one.
The lemonade
is a hoppy
not
one.
Not for me.
The lemonade one is I had the other night, and it's a little too.
Yeah, who do you think drank about four of those last night?
But the Master Shredder was also great.
My night ended on the roof of the Vale.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It was cool up there.
That was cool.
That's when I knew it was time to leave.
Yes.
Oh, we went to
TGI's.
Oh, my goodness.
We arrived to the Promised Land, and I have to admit, I was disappointed in its effort.
It's called Fridays, by the way.
We got to TGI's. They had a table set up for me and my crew already. So I
me and
shook some hands of the manager, said, thanks, guys.
It was not good.
JP and I ordered an Orange Crush, and our drink was red. That's when I knew it was going to be a bad night.
Yeah. All right.
But we'll give it another shot later.
Let's go to Paul Richardson. We've done enough. Anybody have anything to say of substance? No. All right. Here comes Paul Richardson. You guys are going to enjoy this one.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Paul Richardson, the Redskins' big free agent acquisition, wide receiver, speed guy. Do you know that arguably the most popular story we wrote about you this offseason was that you like ketchup on your tacos?
Yeah, I think it's amazing, man. Ever since I was a kid, I always had ketchup on my tacos. I always had to have the cheese on the taco first, then the meat. So the cheese will melt fast and the ketchup on top. I don't know where I got it from, but it's worked wonders for me.
Should fans be more interested in your tacos or what you're going to do on the field for the Redskins?
I think my tacos are pretty interesting, but I think I'm going to have fun on the field this year with these guys, man. I think we have a lot of talent on offense. I think we have a defense that's hungry and is going to try to get us the ball as much as they can. And, I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm around a lot of playmakers, a lot of athletic guys on this offense, a lot of guys that's ready to win. So I think this offense is more interesting than my tacos.
All right. Who are the athletic guys? Who's caught your eye?
Man, you can start with the line from Trent to Moses and everybody inside of there. And then you have backs like CT, and you have backs like guys. These guys can run and make plays, and the entire receiver core. I'm a little biased, but, you know, we have a lot of playmakers in the receiver core, all different body types, different speeds, different tempos that can play all the receiver positions, man. And, you know, we just have a dynamic group.
Who's the number one receiver?
the number one receiver, I would have to say whoever gets the ball on that play. I don't know if we have necessarily a number one receiver. I would say Reed has the most targets. So, you know, and Reed's an outstanding playmaker, man. Like, he's crazy athletic, you know, and he's fun to watch.
Are you right?
Orlando Scandrick, everybody. So you're saying, does the team need a number one receiver? Does that need to be defined?
I would say that a team doesn't necessarily need a number one receiver because, you know, that kind of – it kind of weeds other guys out and it kind of narrows you down. I think if a number one was to emerge, so to speak, then I think that it's good, you know, to have a quote-unquote go-to guy. But I think, you know, depending on the down and distance, you know, we have guys that work really well inside and create a lot of matchups in Crowder and Reed. And then you have guys on the outside like Doc, myself, Maurice, Brian Quick, who can win our one-on-one matchups. So I think it comes down to the defense that we're going against on that play and delivering the ball.
Okay. Let's talk about your game a little bit.
Okay.
You're brought here for vertical speed. Did they tell you that in your first meeting with them?
No.
What they say?
They never said anything about my speed.
Really?
No. I know I came in to stretch the field. I know they're looking for that. And, you know, I think I've been doing a good job since I've been here of challenging guys deep, spreading the coverage out and opening guys underneath. And, you know, that's been my role when I was able to and with my previous team. So, you know, I just think that, you know, now I'm just more of an option.
Are you more than that, though? Are you cool to be defined by your speed, or is there more to it, like the tacos the fans don't know about?
Yeah, like the tacos, it's more to me than just meat and cheese. So I think, you know, I take pride in the whole route tree, and I think in my first couple of days here with the coaches, they were like, okay, this guy can play inside. He can go across the formation. He can come out the backfield. He can do all these things. And we just wasn't able to see enough of it, but they exposed me to a lot, and I'm knocking it out the park. So I'm having fun running all the routes. I like that they have me playing all the receiver spots, and I think it's gonna be better for us as an offense for when I would line up. They don't just play coverage over the top. They have to play us honest.
Alex Smith yesterday talking said that he doesn't believe his game has peaked. I assume you've watched some Alex now and have seen him in the NFL for years. What do you think of his game?
I think I said this before, that he's a very versatile and dynamic quarterback. The fact that he can extend plays, I think that's very valuable in the NFL. I just played with the guy, Russell Wilson, who's amazing at extending plays. And to come here, and we got a guy that can extend plays as well, get the ball downfield, and he's been doing it for countless years consistently. So I like what he brings. I agree. I don't think he's peaked either. I think he's great for this offense, and I think he's a good leader.
And let's ask the same thing about you then. Have you peaked as a player? What are your expectations for the season?
I don't believe I've peaked. I really believe that that teams haven't really seen me much. You know, I mean, for guys that, you know, scouted me coming out of college, they seen me play. But for the most part in the NFL, you know, I haven't been, you know, able to – play to my full potential. So I think now I have an opportunity to show really what I bring to the game. And, you know, they've been allowing me to do that. They give me a lot of freedom in my route running, a lot of freedom in like an open-mindedness when we talk about concepts and routes and how they would like it done and my perspective. And I think because of that freedom, I'm going to be able to do more and show more.
All right, let's do a little word association. Okay. I'm going to say someone's name, and you describe that person in one word if you can.
Okay.
All right, let's start on the defensive side of the ball. I saw you guys talking plenty. He does a lot of talking on the field, DJ Swearinger.
Dog. DJ's a dog. I really respect him. I respect what he brings to the game, and he's consistent. He go talk to you when he having a slow start or slow finish, and he go talk to you when he on top of the food. So I love it. I love what he brings.
Zach Brown.
Savage. That man is out there looking for contact and looking to make plays, and he gonna tell you about it.
Brandon Scherff.
Aggressive, man. I love to see him battling on film, man. It's crazy. You know, receivers usually want to watch one-on-ones, watch seven-on-seven, get out the building. We see those guys fighting on the inside.
Jay Gruden.
special.
Special for the head coach. Hey, what does that mean?
Listen, I didn't know what to expect from Jay before I met him, but he's such a down-to-earth guy, man. He's a player's coach, and you know, he doesn't try to like overdo anything. He's a guy that he implements what he needs to implement. He follows through with it, but at the same time, he allows us to be ourselves. He allows us to, you know, to have fun. And I think it's great. He's a special dude.
Has he made fun of you yet?
Yes. Oh, my first day. I won't tell you what he said. But
tell us what he said.
No.
Give us the edited version.
And at first, I looked at Ike Hilliard. I said, did he really say that? He said, he just messing with you. I said, all right.
Like, what'd he say?
It doesn't matter. But he's a great guy, man. I love it.
What, Ike Hilliard? That's a lot of thinking here.
Man. As a coach, dynamic.
Dynamic.
Ike Hilliard played the game. He was drafted lotto, basically, first round, early. And everything that he's learned over the years as a player and as a coach, he tries to teach us in a way that we understand. It's not like he's talking at us. He's having us visualize because he's ran the route before. He's seen those coverages before. And the fact that you have a guy that can be able to communicate with you on a player level, it's hard to top, man. A lot of coaches, you know, they have studied. They've been around the game for countless years. They've coached for countless years, been around Hall of Famers, coach Hall of Famers, taught Hall of Famers. But the coaches that actually play, too, they relate a little differently to the players. And I think they would agree, too, that they relate differently. And I think I'm fortunate to have a coach that played my position that I could relate to, and he could relate to me, and the communication is pure.
That was good. That was good. All right, last
one.
Don't
put that long pause on.
No, we're leaving the pause. That's you thinking. That's important.
Man, I had to.
Maybe not on TV, but in the podcast, we're leaving.
Oh, yeah,
the pause.
It's all good. It's all good.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.